Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Survivor Specialists are back, and today I am joined by Russell Muscle TV. I think for the first time since we did our Survivor Second Chances situation back last January. Have we had you on since then?
This is the first time. I thought I did such a bad job last time we did it. You were like, I don't want to see Russell ever again. I'm glad I got the invite back, Phil.
Honestly, the problem was we did a 3 hour and 40 minute Brant steal, and I pretty much said I don't need to talk to him ever again, because that's about four podcasts with a normal person. So we needed to give you a little bit of a break, but no, I'm glad we have you back. The second chance thing was interesting, and that was a while ago, and we've had two full seasons almost since then. We've had a season and a half, and we've had some major characters, and I know we did it as a new era versus old school. But who are your, since that's happened, who are your locks from 46 and 47 that are going to be breaking through on a fifth year?
I think it's obvious picks right off the bat, but you got to go, you got to go Q and you got to go Rome, right? Those are the big characters who you want to see play the game again. So those are the ones for me. I'm thinking we might have to do something a little bit similar again for a Survivor Season 50 Brant steal. I don't want to do another 4 hour podcast maybe, but if we can cut it down a little bit, that'd be a good time.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to do something, because hang on, I just got to send this to McKenna so she sends that we're live. We're live. Okay. But no, I agree with you. I think we're going to have to do something like that for 50, because with how this has started to shake out, I feel like more than half of the cast is going to be from the new era. And I will say this though, and we see this right now, Blake, Will, and I over on our Patreon, we just are finishing up Survivor Guatemala. We've been talking a lot. We're going through every season in a row. We're spending 2 weeks on each. And we've been talking a lot with Vanuatu, Palau, and Guatemala, how there weren't as many players who returned from those seasons and future seasons, because as you got closer to the next return time, you had China, you had Cook Islands, you had Panama, even Fiji with Yao Man. Like, that was a big one. So you started to have less people to choose from. And then 17 through 19 were great, which made it even smaller of a pool to choose from for 20. And all of a sudden, at season 9, 10, and 11 kind of got forgotten. That's what it starts to feel like it might happen here a little bit with 41, 42, as we start to move further away. Because how are you not putting Q or Rome on 50?
I feel the exact same way, but I think even deeper than that. Sure, 41, 42. Honestly, we can forget about 41 pretty much fully. But think about the mid-30s. When we did our new era versus the old school season, we struggled so much with those mid-30s players of who to bring back. But now that you have 10 more seasons or 9 more seasons to work from, who from those seasons are going to get a chance? Like, I feel like there's so many players here where, unfortunately, I mean, we're not doing more than a 25-person season, right? Like, that'd be crazy, but I don't think we'll be doing that. So a lot of players who should have got a second chance are never going to get to do it.
Yeah. So what did you think about the Rome roast last week?
I felt it was definitely time for it to happen. I was a big fan of Rome all season. I know, super controversial player. People either love him or love to hate him. I was someone who loved to watch him. I think those big personalities, we just talked about Q as well, these big players make it fun. And it's part of the reason why back in the day I started loving Survivor so much, is these big personalities. And when we were in the earlier part of the 40s, a big issue was that diversity was awesome, but everyone felt the same. And now we have players that the diversity is awesome again, but the players are feeling different again, and we have different thinking, which is way, way better. And that's exactly what Rome was like. Looking back, when I binged the season over Christmas, I think it's going to be a way different perspective watching the downfall of Rome from episode 1 to episode whatever it was, 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Because, like, I thought Rome was playing well. Sure, way too cocky, way too aggressive, but he was doing what he needed to do with his idols. I would argue he was a really loyal Survivor player to the people that he needed to be loyal with. And I thought he was on the right track. Unfortunately, I was wrong with that one.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of people did. Will was talking about it where it was like, it feels like they're giving him the dodo edit, but what if they're not giving him the dodo edit? What if he's actually getting, he's been right about pretty much everything. Like, he was shown to be right a lot in the pre-merge portion of this game. And so here we are. Rome is out, and now we're at final 12, and we do have confirmation that whoever gets 12th place on this season will not make the jury. So that means Rome's not even the final pre-juror, which I don't think that impacts his chances.
Phil, this pisses me off
anyway, but yeah, no, it pisses me off too. Okay. First of all, I'm just going to call this what it is. Okay. I don't care. Okay.
Look, was this a merge?
No, I don't get paid by anybody to do anything. Okay. This is what it is. It's tribe swap. We have made it to another tribe swap on Survivor. I'm very happy that we've hit the tribe swap. Blake, we did a Digging Deeper episode last week, and Blake, who kind of works behind the scenes on some of this stuff, you know, he does his casting for Big Brother and all that. Blake brought up the point that perhaps, and this might be a little inside baseball, but he said perhaps there is a bonus potentially associated with making the merge on Survivor. And that is why Jeff so adamantly states when they make the merge on Survivor, which if that is the case, that would make a lot of sense to me. If that's not the case, we have now done back-to-back tribe swaps. like that's all we've done. Yes, last week was a merge and now we've diverged. So I'm going to just call it a tribe swap. If we're not calling last week a merge, then this is a tribe swap. But yeah, we're back to the 6-6, which is exactly what happened during season 45, the morning after Caleb played a shot in the dark and survived. But it seems like you're mostly pissed about the not making the jury.
Yeah, I'm pissed that we did a regular merge, but we called it a new twist. I'm pissed that you can make the merge. I know in the past, people who have made the merge don't make the jury, that's fine. But I feel like if we hype up, you're making the merge so much, you have your buff now, then I think that should be a sign of, okay, you're on the jury here. There's so many different phases of the game in the new era where it feels like at some point there needs to be these check marks. So sure, yeah. Okay, you're earning the merge. I don't care, Jeff. That doesn't make any sense to me. We did a regular merge, whatever. If we do a regular merge and whatever, Jeff thinks we want to earn it, whatever. Last episode, Rome, he didn't earn the merge. He didn't earn the buff. You don't make the jury. Cool, whatever. But now everyone's got their buff. I think this part of the game, I get it for numbers. They want to make sure it's the jury makes sense size-wise. But I really don't like how now everyone has their buff. Everyone's made the merge. But one guy is not going to make the jury now anyway. Mm-hmm. I think like how the game's been phased in all these different stages don't make full sense.
Yeah, I agree. And well, Valier says here, Tyson was talking about how if he made the merge in any of his seasons, it was a 6K bump. So that makes sense. And like I've been saying, it feels like it matters more for the players than it does for the audience. And unfortunately, you're making the show for the audience, not for the players. So just call it whatever you want and start to explain it better. But who cares? But yes, I agree with you. I always hated back in the early seasons when 10th place didn't make the jury. It made sense from a numbers perspective because you had a final two and you had a 7-person jury. You couldn't have an 8-person jury. But we lose out on Gretchen making the jury and potentially becoming a Survivor legend because she probably plays All-Stars if she makes it the final 9. You miss out on Jeff Varner making the jury in his first season. Yeah. You miss out on Boston Rob making the jury in his first season. Like the Clarence was Africa. Those are your first four people to miss the jury, but to make the merge. And those are massive names. And it felt like they had learned from that and said, okay, forget this. And instead, here we are again, where somebody's going to end up missing out. And it is a bummer because I feel like with how Survivor and stuff is trying to make their players last longer and more meaningful, like get every ounce of anything out of their cast, why not do that in this situation? Like, why not do that? And I get final three at 12, that would be a 9-person jury. So that's a little funky. You don't want to have that. But have we ever been close to a 3-3-3? Absolutely not. And we're never going to be close to a 3-3-3.
Jeff Probst, I know you're watching this right now. You're doing a pretty good job. Like a round of applause. Some things are going well. I loved whatever we did 2 episodes ago, the Survivor Sanctuary, the happy hour, whatever it was called.
Social hour.
Yeah, the Survivor Social Hour. That was such a good idea. And I even talked about in my episode recap, I would love if we kept the Survivor Social Hour, make that the mingling period, make that your merge feast, and then get rid of Earn the Merge. We kind of did that technically, so it was awesome. I hope we see the Survivor Social Hour back next season. It's just we're still trapped in this, the monster of the new era, a little bit too much. We're on the right track, but I still think some of these things don't make any sense. And I hate like talking about this so much in all my episode recaps whenever I come on podcasts like this, because I love this show. I talk about it every day. You love this show as well. But they're so close to making it great again.
I've been praising them this season. They have made the right decisions. Yes. They are moving in the right direction in almost every single facet of the game. And I have not said that. Everybody knows that we lost so many viewers because I was brutally honest. I mean, after season 41, Alexa and I almost stopped doing this podcast because we were so miserable watching whatever took place. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh no, I love that. Like, I'm going to tell you how I really feel. And this season, every decision they've made has been an improvement upon previous decisions. Last week, having 12 people, in danger, having one person with immunity, that is a better version of Mergatory. But, I talked about the idols and everything. I feel like everything is better. But that being said, this is one facet of the game that feels weak. And I forget who it was, and I don't want to give credit to somebody who didn't do it, but know if you're listening that I'm giving you the credit. There was one of the writers who had said previously that season 46 was constipated by Banu. Like the first four episodes were constipated and then it was able to run. Okay. There's your graphic thought in your head. The show right now is officially only constipated by this split at 12. I feel like they have moved away and are starting to move in the right direction for everything. But the split at 12 feels like something that they have drawn in that they say, this is mandatory. So everything must get to this point. And I'm saying to myself, why? We're going to miss, somebody is going to miss the jury that we are going to be pissed, miss the jury. And I honestly would not be surprised if it's somebody like a Genevieve or a Rachel or a Caroline who's actually playing a pretty decent game. But they do this stupid split and they're going to end up on the wrong side of their numbers from other people, which we actually do have the split and we'll throw it up in a second, but go ahead.
Yeah, you're completely right there. We're on the right track. We're almost there. And it just feels like Jeff is obsessed with these smaller tribal councils, these smaller groups, and we're trying to get to them as many times as we can, which is fine in the pre-merge. I understand three tribes. We've done it 6-7 seasons in a row now, but there is fun parts of these big tribals. Sure, we had the Rome show last episode, the one that we just had, and it was a blowout. But there is crazy things that can happen when you have these big tribal councils that I think Survivor needs to give the chance to have those happen a little bit more.
Yeah. Here's Musk Kid M. Oh, my God. So nice to see Russell Muscle back on the specialist. Thank you so much for the Canadian dollars there. Oh. Appreciate that. Love that. Love Super Chats. Super Chats are keeping the lights on over here. Telling you, everything's been flickering a little bit, but that's keeping the lights on. I appreciate it. I agree. So let's look at this split. So we're coming in, final 12, episode number 7. We're here to do the rankings. Yeah. Zach did the work for us. We don't have to worry about it. I know we actually talked about it earlier today, but Zach has done the work for us. Blue is Sue, Rachel, Gabe, Caroline, Tiana, and Kyle. What? And yellow is Genevieve, Teeny, Andy, Sam, Sierra, Saul. How in the world did every single player from Blue end up together? And tell me how Rachel is not being voted out this week.
Yeah, I mean, spoiler alert with my power rankings, Rachel's not looking good. this is brutal. I think we might, I mean, we'll be talking about the more in the grass and in the weeds a little bit later, but I think a little bit of the setup might be why Tiana, a little bit of the back and forth there, and we're hinting a little bit of the Kyle versus Sue drama. So maybe they set all that up because they knew this split was coming. And they're like, okay, we want to plant some seeds just in case people think, oh, it's too obvious, it's Rachel. But we'll see.
Yeah, and then on the other side, to have the 3-3 split of the 3 yellow versus the 3 red, I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say this right now. Genevieve or Sierra's edit is going to make a lot more sense after this week's episode, because I think one of those two people are absolutely going home.
Yeah, I think so too. I think we're on the same page for a lot of these things. I hope that there's some big crazy blindsides and some big shocks this week, because this is not set up well for players who are doing a good job in the game. It just, I know I've watched a lot of your podcast this season, Phil. I don't want to throw around the word purple too much, but these players who have been purpled, there's a reason why.
I will kick you out of this chat so fast. That's like when you said Heather, you wanted to put Heather on the ballot and tried to make an argument for it. Get out of here. Oh my God. Yeah. So this is an interesting split though. We are going to be talking about this pretty good. And we'll dive into it in a second. Before we actually jump into the split, I feel like we should properly plug the fact that we're doing puzzles, and I have a link that goes to Idle Plays and all that, because I talk about it pretty much on all of our recaps. I don't really bring it up too much on the predictions and power rankings, because normally you have a guest and I always feel weird making the guest wait. But Russell, you got any new puzzles, or are you just still kind of working with the same stuff?
Oh dude, I got new puzzles. We got puzzles for days over here. We got 13 puzzles for the Idle Plays Survivor 47 drop. Really, it started as my passion project, because I thought, oh, this couldn't be that hard. I'll give it a try. It turns out it's really, really time consuming and really tough to do. But I fell in love with doing it. I love this show so much. And it is really cool to see all the positive feedback after the people receive the puzzles. A few different things we're doing this season is these things called creator camps. So Phil and the specialists, they have their own camp of 3 puzzles. That's their bundle. They have them themselves. So that's really, really cool. There's a bunch of other creators who have that as well. Our new puzzle this season, I self-titled Bruce's Puzzle. Okay. It was the puzzle from Survivor 44 at the end of the challenge where Bruce hurt himself. So I gave him a little bit of recognition there. It's just a nice and simple 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 piece puzzle. But I called it Bruce's Puzzle to give him a little shout out there. He loves it. I sent him the version in all 3 colors. And it just it helps keep the lights on my channel for all the hard work and editing I do. And you can help support Phil as well.
Yeah, no. And so go ahead and click the link below. And hopefully it's not one of those packages that like explodes confetti and stuff. You know how like they do those, like the glitter bombs, except this one's a piece of wood bomb that just smacks you across the head if you order Bruce's. Hopefully that's not the case here. No, but it's really cool. And I know, especially nowadays with so many puzzles on the show, people are always saying like, I could do that. I could do that. You sit down and you do these. And I understand like it's smaller, it's the 3D printed. So what I always found with the puzzles is they're a little bit slicker, because with the wood, they'll just sit on top of each other. But with this, they're a little bit slicker, and I will have the hardest time putting these puzzles together. And I feel like I'm pretty damn good at puzzles. And so like, you think you can do it, try doing it at your kitchen table and see how that goes for you. It's more difficult than you would think. So click the link. You got, you're pointing to it. You're trying to figure
out right there. I don't play is right there. Boom.
There it is. Left-hand point. Good job. All right. Well, that's great. We partnered again. I'm excited. And you know, hopefully we get our situation figured out eventually, you know, you and me over here, we're fighting it out with whoever it is, Shopify or whatever, but yes, all right, let's jump into some rankings here. I just literally took the names down, cause I was like, that's been up a while. Zach, your face, I hope you're happy with your picture, because anybody watching this should be staring at your face all night here. So with the way this breaks down, what I'm assuming is going to happen, and correct me if I'm wrong, or tell me if you think I'm incorrect here.
You're probably wrong.
Okay. They're both going to tribal council.
Probably. There has been times, and like, correct me if I'm wrong, but there has been times in the new era where both of them have gone to tribal. And there's been a couple of times when only one of them has gone to tribal.
There have been times where only one has gone to tribal. Yeah. So that's kind of what I'm saying. But I am assuming with the way they shook this out, and with Jeff saying, oh, you know, so one of you isn't going to even make it, they are going back to Survivor 45, and they are doing what they did with Sifu and Caleb.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so as well. And that would make sense. Like, oh, when, and Jeff will hype it up at the mat chat. He'll be like, hey, if your tribe or whatever group does better, you get the reward, you get the food, whatever it's going to be. But you also, you make the jury.
Yeah.
And so that'll be a little extra competition for him.
Yep. 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 And I, honestly, I will say this. I appreciate if they're going to do this type of split and they're going to do this, you know, whatever. I appreciate that the winning team does get rewarded in that way if you make the jury. Mm-hmm. But I just think it's stupid that they're doing this at this point. Anyway, just do a tribe swap at 14, do two or three tribal councils, and then just have them merge. Just go back to that. I feel like that's more interesting for a viewer. I understand that this creates chaos for the players and it might cause them to play harder, but I don't feel like from a viewer perspective, it makes that much of a difference to us. I think we'd all rather see a regular tribe swap at 14 and then have it go that way until 11. Because you know what? The hardest part with the new era that I have found is, with the exception of probably 45 and 46, if 44 had it easy because you had the Tika 3, you all knew where that stood. With the exception of 45, because 46 really got chaotic, you never really understood where the minority alliance was.
It's chaos.
You didn't know who was trying to team up with who and why they were trying to do it. And I feel like that's because we get lost with, we know who the starting tribe is, but then it's like, wait, so they went to tribal council at 13. Who was eligible to be voted out? Then they split. Who was with who and blah, blah. The average viewer cannot follow that. But if you give them a tribe for multiple tribal councils, they can follow that very easily.
We need to remember that was also an issue in the mid-30s as well. Ghost Island, HHH, when you're game changers, when you're swapping four times, three times in the pre-merge, no one can follow that as well. But it's terrible here as well. You merge, then you're not merging, then you're twisting, flopping. No one knows what side's up. What I don't like in earlier seasons, like 44, 42, 41, whatever, was being able to catch all this split group in a 60-minute episode. So I will say it works way better with the 90 minutes, which is something that I think a lot of people forget to praise from 45, 46, 47. I love the 90-minute episodes.
Dude,
I think
so good.
But they work so much better. And people who complain about it, shut up. These are so much better.
I think they complained during 45 because D was so dominant and that Reba Alliance was so dominant that it felt like maybe it was stale, even though I love watching a dominant alliance every now and then. I don't need the chaos all the time. Africa is one of my favorite seasons and nothing happens on that season. Like, I just like watching Survivor sometimes. And that's what 45 was. It was just a Survivor season with a couple of huge moments and one of the most dominant wins you're ever going to see. But in 46, we got the opposite. And all of a sudden, everybody was like, woohoo, 90-minute episodes, let's do it. I think 47, what's been compelling about this season is the vote outs haven't always been crazy. But they've done such a good job of telling the story that all 90 minutes are just must-watch TV. And they have really figured out what they need to do in these 90 minutes.
They've done such a better job with telling the story in the pre-merge.
Yes.
Like every player, like it makes sense for, there's arguments both ways. They've done such a better job. Round of applause, Jeff, you do some things right. Yeah, that's what I got for there. Let's get started.
Let's get started. All right. So just to recap again, for everybody who is listening and can't see Zach's wonderful face here. Blue is Sue, Rachel, Gabe, Caroline, Tiana, and Kyle. So it's the entire original blue tribe plus Rachel. And then we have on yellow, Genevieve, Teeny, Andy, Sam, Sierra, Saul. So it is a 3-3 split. It is the yellow alliance of Andy, Sierra, and Sam taking on the red alliance, the only three reds still left, of Genevieve, Teeny, and Saul. I'll let you go first. Who do you have as your safest person this week now that you've seen this?
I'm going under the assumption that both groups are going to tribal. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be hedging my bet a little bit back and forth, picking a few people from the yellow side, picking a few people from the blue side. So that's how I'm going to do my power rankings overall. I'm doing someone that they've been hyping up in confessionals all season long. They're going to be on the Mount Rushmore of Survivor. They're having a crazy legacy. I'm sure they're going to be hyped up more throughout the game. Give me Gabe from the blue group here.
Wow. Okay. So you're feeling like Gabe with his potential of Tiana wanting to go after Gabe. That doesn't matter. No issues.
No,
here.
I think Gabe has, like, I think Gabe, Sue are super, super tight. I think Caroline's going to be working with them. I think no matter what, it's either going to be, I mean, a spoiler alert, it's the person that's not on their group, or it's going to be Tiana on that tribe. that goes home that episode. And I think with that tight connection between Gabe and Sue is so tight that the Blue are not going to want to fracture themselves overly too much. And we got to remember Caroline and Sue and Tiana, they all figured out about the hand being red, the red idol. And yep. So they're going to want to cover their tracks a little bit on getting out the person that isn't so tight with them about the idol. So that's a little bit spoiler later on why I'm doing my power rankings. But I really, really think that they're hyping up Gabe enough that they're not going to throw him away at this tribal council right here.
I go Caroline. I think that the Blue tribe, I agree with it. And this is what sucks when we start doing this so much, you know, like when you're in this community and you follow and you listen to everybody the same and all of that, I feel like it's going to be Tiana or Rachel from that tribe as well. So I have Caroline at number one, though, because the one thing is, if you're going to go stray on anybody, Sue has talked about voting out Kyle. Gabe has been talked about from Tiana. Sue and Gabe have talked. They're close, but, you know, the names come. Nobody has mentioned Caroline's name one time. And at the Survivor Social Hour, we saw Rachel and Caroline actually having quite a nice conversation, which could end up becoming very important in this episode. So I think that Caroline and Rachel are going to actually end up pairing up. Now, this could bite Caroline in the ass, because let's say that Caroline says, hey, Rachel, I'm coming to you. And everybody looks around and says, oh, I don't like this. But right now, Sue, Gabe, and Caroline will be voting together in this episode. There is no doubt about it. And if they don't vote together, it will be because Sue and Caroline get a better offer, not because Gabe does. So Caroline is totally safe this week. I have her at number one. Doesn't mean she's going to win, but there is no way she's going home this week.
Shout out Jay Byrne Aquatic in the chat. Bad pick, Phil.
Jay Byrne Aquatic comes in with hot takes with no support. That's his. I love Jay Byrne Aquatic for his clickbait comments, and I refuse to click it, Jay Byrne. I refuse to click it. But he does actually have support here. I'm just trolling. He says Caroline's edit tells me she's not sticking around. She's not getting much. She has gotten a confessional in every episode, and she is probably the least over the top character on this season, which I think is pretty telling, especially since she only went to one tribal council in the pre-merge. Yeah. However, I do not think that Caroline's ultimately going to win. I just think for this week, with the way this split out, no way. No way.
Okay. Do I say who I got next?
Yeah, you just keep rolling. Number two.
All right, number two here. I'm staying on this tribe again, and I hate to do it to you, Phil, but I got the same one. I got Caroline at my number two pick. So that trio is pretty high up on my rankings. I have the next person a little bit lower, but I got Sue. She has an idol, so she's pretty safe. And I think her closest ally is Gabe. So I think those two together are going to be maneuvering through the vote here on this Blue side. And I saw something in chat, which makes a lot of sense. Caroline's closest ally is Sue. Mm-hmm. Sue's closest ally is Gabe.
Yeah, so here you go. Kevin Hernandez. Something that was very telling last episode. The Sue was Caroline's number one, but Sue's number one is Gabe.
Yeah, and I think put like this Blue tribes all together, sure, it felt like part of the pre-merge they were fractured and a little bit separate. But when you're all together on one side, that power trio is going to be doing really well in this episode. And having that idol on top of it, I think no matter what, Sue is going to be surviving this. I think Gabe as well.
But you have Caroline at two, you said.
Yeah, sorry, Caroline, but then Sue's going to be a little bit later. But Caroline.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I had the right name because you said. Yeah, okay, we're good. Well, I don't go Gabe next. I stay on this tribe, and I'm going Kyle. All right? I know that Kyle won the first immunity challenge. Are they going to seriously sit here and say, wow, Kyle's such a challenge threat? No. Gabe had a picture of himself practicing that exact challenge before going out on the island. And he tweeted it out and said, I was pretty pissed off that I didn't make it or whatever. He said something along those lines. I feel like Kyle's in a really good spot. Kyle's social game is able to start shining through, which is huge. And right now, Sue could say, I want to go after Kyle. Why? Why do you want to go after Kyle? And I honestly don't think Caroline or Gabe or anybody like that are going to want to go after him. Mm-hmm. I feel like Kyle is going to be long for this game. I think he's got a good chance to make a deep run. And for him to go this week, what would have to happen is Sue, Rachel, Gabe, and Caroline would have to decide Kyle's a threat.
Yep.
And I just don't think that blue is going to want to do that. You have a 5-1 advantage. You either get rid of the easy one or you get rid of the person who was never truly in your alliance to begin with, which I know Tiana voted correctly at the TK Tribal and Kyle didn't. But Kyle has been better to everybody on that tribe than Tiana has been since then.
Does it not worry you, the little bit of bickering between Kyle and Sue?
Not anymore. She keeps mentioning it and she keeps saying, if I get my chance, but I do think like, okay, maybe that has been set up here, right? Kyle is one of the, I want to just get the right numbers here and the person who always posts the confessional account, so many other things. Kyle is one of 1, 2, 3 people who has an episode without a confessional this season. Tiana and Genevieve are the others. So maybe Kyle has been set up to take a little bit of a fall and maybe I should be taking that more seriously. However, I feel like his relationships with everybody are working. And I feel like Sue's going to have to do a hell of a job convincing to vote Kyle out over Tiana or Rachel. I think there are two obvious targets when you have this majority instead of Kyle. So maybe Kyle goes next time, but I just don't see it happening this time.
I think a big part of this blue tribe throughout the pre-merge was these 90-minute episodes. Let's figure out these different little plot points to make this next tribal super interesting. Because we have so many of these. Sure, it's a 4-1. No, it's a 5-1, whatever. But still, like, there's so many different possibilities that can happen here. Next up, I'm going to hedge my bet, go to the other tribe. I'm going a red person. I'm going to go Teeny on the red tribe. Okay. I think she's one of the best social players out there. She can talk her way out of bad situations when they come out. If there is a reward challenge with some booze, then she might be in a little bit of trouble, but
hopefully there is not before this. Yes.
Other than that, I have a feeling that it's going to be a yellow person that's going to be going on this tribe if they do. Unless they split, but I think Teeny's the one where, no matter what, unless there's a random crazy rock draw that happens, Teeny's going to be safe in this tribe.
So what's funny is I am going to wait until we get to the end of this episode to determine who I actually think wins out, because I could see Teeny going with Andy, Sam, and Sierra. I could see Andy saying, I feel like I'm the third in this situation. I want to go over to you. But I do feel like Teeny, from what we saw in the pre-merge, her relationship with Genevieve and Saul is not, I'm willing to go home for this. And that is very important. And I could see Teeny going over to Andy, Sam, and Sierra to avoid going to rocks and say, I'll go with you because I'm on the sinking ship anyway. And maybe Teeny's whole mission is to get into a position where she can start to play back and forth, and maybe go the Will Wall strategy and pull it off very successfully, because there's nobody out there who knows the game better than Teeny. I really truly believe that based on how many, you know, LRGs and whatever she's played and everything like that. So I just feel like Teeny could do that, but I'm not going to make a call on that tribe just yet, because I'm still terrified. I'm a little bit more worried for all of them than I am for Sue. I think Sue's fine. I go Caroline. What is it? Caroline, Kyle, Sue. I think Sue is going to be fine. I think that, yes, it's not a good look for her that she had the red on her and people are going to be questioning that, blah, blah, blah. But she has protection. And right now she has two people protecting her. She has Gabe, who's not going to be willing to vote her out. She has Caroline, who's not going to be willing to vote her out. And she has herself, who can't vote herself out. She has the numbers no matter what, unless she and Caroline or she and Gabe make the decision to do something else. So I think that Sue is fine this week. And I go, that's why I have her at number 3.
Yeah. I mean, I'm at my number 4. I have Sue as well. So we can keep talking about Sue for a little bit. You said it perfectly there. She has her idol. She has that tight group. I talked about it a little bit with the Gabe, Caroline, Sue. That trio, in my opinion, is going to control the vote at this next tribal council. Mm-hmm. Now, we'll talk about, I'm interested to see a little bit later in the power rankings who you have next in that list. I'm really, really curious. Mm-hmm. I think we'll be a little bit differently there once we get to the bottom. But I think this 45-year-old is going to go a little bit farther in the game.
Just keep clinging to 45. Just keep saying it. I'm 45. Eventually, it comes true. I mean, I wish I could turn the clock back. Here's one thing. So with Sue having that idol, Any chance she plays the idol to get Kyle out of the game?
I think that would be the wrong move at this tribal council. I think at this point in the game, now after the first tribal council of this episode, you're now in the jury phase. And I think I don't really like this part of Survivor, but it's part of the resume builder, hyping it up. You want everyone to see you play that idol and play it correctly. The problem is I don't know if that move will happen. I think there's a good chance she does play their idol because they saw Survivor 46. They saw so many people go home without idols. Now, I don't think Sue's in danger tonight, but we've seen this season the repercussions of Survivor 46, people playing their advantages and their idols at the next chance they can.
Yeah.
Just because for whatever reason, how the meta is moving, that's what they think they need to do.
Yeah, I feel like the only way Sue would play her idol this week to get Kyle out of the game would be if Sue, Gabe, and Caroline all want to vote one way and Kyle refuses to go with them. And Kyle says, no, I'll go with Tiana and Rachel, and is like trying to force it. I just don't see it happening, but it is definitely something to consider in the future of Kyle could get idled out of this game by Sue for sure.
Yeah, I think it's the wrong move to do this week.
Yes, I agree with that. All right. Number four, I have Teenie. So don't have much more to say. You already talked about Teenie. I mean, we have a very similar top four. I have Kyle up there. You have Gabe up there, but otherwise we have it very similar. Teenie's in a really good spot. Out of everybody over there, I'm most confident in Teenie's edit. Teenie has 28 confessionals, to 17 for Saul and 16 for Genevieve. Genevieve has the random zero confessional episode, which still scares me a lot for her. And I do feel like Teenie could go with the others. Genevieve and Saul, I don't know what their relationship's going to look like with the others. I feel like one of them, to me, Saul and Genevieve feel more expendable than Teenie, which I don't actually think they're more expendable, but like based on what I've watched, I feel like Teenie is more important to the story that is going to unfold in the second half of this game. And therefore, I think that Teenie is the safest here, because what I'm having a hard time figuring out is who will Genevieve, Teenie, and Saul target if they're going to target somebody from yellow. And that is what I'm having a hard time figuring out. And that is why I'm putting Teenie at the top, because out of those six, she's really the only one that I have already like etched in pen moving on to episode number eight.
Yeah. I agree with that. I don't know who on this yellow side is going to be the red tribe's target. And I think from what you said a little bit earlier in the podcast, I do think we're going to be opposite of who we think the target's going to be. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a really good conversation. I'm going to this yellow tribe for my next pick. And I'm going now in my episode recaps, whenever I do them, I have things flying on the screen the whole time. And when I think I have a hot take, I go like this and I have an explosion happen on screen. It's a great thing I do. I have a hot take, the first hot take I have of this podcast. I'm going to have Andy next.
Okay.
And I think it's a hot take because I really think his name was thrown out there. He was the decoy, the second plan, whatever you want to call it. And once your name's out there on Survivor, it stays out there. It's really hard to get your name back in, not talked about once it's been thrown out there the first time. And the issue is, I think Andy could overthink now that he's been safe for a few weeks. I do think he's been more confident. He's been really fun at tribal councils. He's turned out to be a really good character, but I'm worried about him. Yeah. I'm worried about how he plays the game when he's in trouble and when he's in danger. Go back to that episode one. And I think the heat will be on him this week. So that's why I'm a little hesitant for this pick, but I think he's going to be the first person that will be willing to flip to the other side. So I think that's why I put him this high, because he'll just flip over and then boom, he's going to be safe.
You think that was a hot take. Bruce had Annika at six the week that she went home. I keep receipts, Bruce. Sorry. J-Burn Aquatic, I don't think someone in a pair will win edits wise. So that's, you know, getting our little super chat in here. I love that, J-Burn.
Keep the lights on.
I'm telling you. Yeah, Andy's a tough one. Like I said, I don't really know how I feel about that. I will go Gabe next. So I have him a little bit lower than you, but I still ultimately feel like Gabe will end up coming out of this just fine. I do feel like Sue, Caroline, Gabe, Kyle are going to vote together, and it's going to be either Rachel or it's going to be Tiana, which is very apparent here because in my top five, four of them are from that group. That's how confident I feel that it's probably going to go that way. This other group I'm having such a hard time with. And I'm going to have to start putting them, and any of them could go home.
Yeah, it's eeny, meeny, miny, mo at that point.
It is.
My next pick, I believe you already picked him as well. So our top seven are very similar. I have Kyle next.
You have Kyle at six, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Making sure. Yep.
Yeah. Kyle at six. He's lower-ish on my side just because the Sue versus Kyle earlier in the season. Like you said, a very low chance of it happening. I actually like very, very low. But there's a chance Sue could idle out Kyle this episode if he doesn't want to stick to the plan. But with that said, Kyle's still not one of the top two targets on this side. It's going to be Tiana. It's going to be Rachel. That's what's going to happen here. And that's why Kyle's still on my upper side of things, but more in the middle.
Yeah. Smack dab. Yeah. My number six, so I'm not going to go Andy. I'm going to go Sam. And this might seem a little crazy because Sam is the obvious. You got to boot this guy, right? I mean, jacked, social, good looking.
He's the glue.
A reporter for the Tennessee Titans who got their absolute asses kicked today by my Detroit Lions, absolutely decimated. I just want to say this again, because like this happened, you know, just not too long ago. And I haven't seen a Lions performance like this, I think ever in my life as a diehard fan. So I just want to throw this out there right now. Jared Goff threw for 85 yards today and the Lions scored 52 points. That is how bad they beat the crap out of the Titans. So Sam could be in line for a terrible week here of having to fly to Detroit, deal with the Titans losing 52-14, giving up 38 consecutive points in the game, and then go home at Survivor time.
That's rough.
But I'm going to assume that Sam is going to be safe, and I don't give a shit, guys. I think it's because of the edit. The edit is screaming, ooh, Sam has to stay. 38 confessionals. Now, I know Rome also had 38.
Rome broke the record pre-merge.
He did. He broke the pre-merge. He finally beat Gina. Freaking Gina from Marquesas finally gets dethroned 43 seasons later. Insane that Banu did not beat Gina.
Yeah.
But that's how iconic Gina was. A forgotten name in this community, which is such a shame. Gina is amazing. But 38 confessionals Rome gets. Sam has the same amount. But there's a difference between Rome and Sam. You are going to air everything that Rome does because it's always going to be controversial. And like I say, good TV, every character in a TV show, you should feel either love or hate for. You need to feel something for them.
Yes.
And you see that in really good scripted TV. In reality TV, that's a little bit harder because sometimes they just don't deliver. Rome delivered. They were always going to show what he had. Now, Sam had a lot going on in this early portion of the game, too. But he is being shown as the head honcho. He's gotten a lot of confessionals. He's done 16 episode confessional. And here's how I see this going this week, right? If this tribe loses, and this is the tribe who goes first, they are going to assume, now even if they go second, they won't know who survived. They are going to assume that Rachel goes home. Because what we've also seen on these seasons is when they do this split, the tribes go to different beaches.
Yep.
They are going to assume Rachel is doomed. So what does that mean for them? That means Andy, Sam, and Sierra are going to say, we need to stick together because we can't give up our numbers. We're already going to lose one. And if we lose one here, we are now down to two, and we have the least amount of people from the original starting tribe. That is where I think Teeny will jump over with them. And I think Sam right now is in the strongest position. If he seems like the obvious person to target here. But I feel like it will be Andy or Sierra who goes home before Sam if somehow Red sticks together and votes this way. But ultimately, I am saying I think it's going to be Saul or Genevieve who goes home. And if it's Genevieve, poor internet, because Genevieve is just glorious and they're gonna lose their day. I mean, she's the child of Kim Spradlin in Poverty Shallow. And if she goes home and misses the jury, there might be riots in the streets.
Well, you just set it up perfectly for me. My number seven is Genevieve.
Okay, there you go. Look at you.
There you go.
We're separate then. We have the opposite take on how this is going to shake out for this tribe.
Yeah, you said it one way for the yellow tribe. They're going to assume Rachel goes home. If a yellow person goes home, they'll be down to two. we can say the exact same thing about this red tribe. If a red goes home, they're down to two people.
Yeah.
And then they're way outmatched as well. So I think both tribes have incentive to stay together. And I don't like to read into the edit too much, even though it's for what we do, we're going to do it no matter what. Like, we're going to read into these things a little bit more. It would make sense earlier on in the season. Phil, please don't block me, mute me, whatever. Genevieve was purpled earlier on this season. So that there's that. But she's been getting her flowers. She's been getting more screen time. We've seen now, it was a small little scene, but last episode, there was a little bit of setup of Genevieve and Sam talking about that red buoy. We could have just had a scene of Genevieve talking to herself about the red buoy. Oh, there's a red buoy out there, whatever. We saw that relationship and that connection build a little bit. And I'm just more on the side that a yellow person is going to end up going on this side. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm doing Genevieve here. I'd love to hear why you think she's in danger.
Well, I'm going to get there. Yeah. I'm going to get there. I don't want to say it yet because sure. I don't want to spoil yet because at my number seven, I am going to go, I'm actually going to go Andy. I think that based on what I have seen on my screen, and I love reading into the edit. That's why I watch Survivor, baby. I love reading into the edit because I love to be able to predict and see. And that's why I was correctly able to call that Gabler would win if it wasn't Jesse. And that's why I was able to call Michelle. And, you know, that's why Erica's win is still nonsense because there was no edit for that. But I love watching the edit. So I have Andy at seven. I think that Sierra is in the most danger out of those three people from yellow, because I feel like Sierra was the most overlooked as she played pretty confidently early on in the game. She wasn't making the wrong decisions, but we weren't getting much screen time from her. And even now, as we head into this week, she has 16 confessionals. She went 2-2-2, 6-2-2. That is 12 less than Andy. That is 22 less than Sam. Mm-hmm. So the fact that she was just as important over there as those two players, and maybe even more important because she was the one bridging the gap between the two alliances, to see so little of her has me worried because her confessionals are very good.
Yes.
She is somebody that audiences could absolutely latch onto. And for some reason, Survivor decided, nah, you don't need to. So I feel like, and I will say that if Sierra does go home, I hope the internet just like takes a step back, because I know they were already, you know, doing the you hate women thing to her when she voted out Annika. And I feel like if she ends up going home here, they'll be like, we told you so, because we just have so many losers who have nothing else to do with themselves. But I just hope that I hope for her sake, it doesn't happen this week. I still think she's going to be safe, but I have Andy and Sam both ahead of her. So I have Andy here at number seven.
Okay. Okay. I had Andy a little bit higher, so I do like that one. I think I'm surprised that you had Sam ahead of Andy. I'm surprised you had Sam as high as you did. My next one, my number eight, I believe it is mm-hmm. Saul. So I'm full on the bandwagon that other than Andy, a red tribe member is going to be safe in this group here. And the reason I have Saul the lowest of all three of them, Saul's name's, I mean, Rome's gone now, so there's that. But his name's been thrown around the most. And there, I said it earlier in the podcast, there is something to be said about when your name is thrown out there in Survivor. Mm-hmm. When your name's thrown out there, it, for whatever reason, that's the go-to name for later as well. Saul is a bigger guy, a very strong guy. We're in the individual portion of the game now, so the players are going to start to think about that a little bit more. And there's been a little bit of back and forth of Teenie not fully trusting Saul too much. Mm-hmm. And that's why I had Teenie higher up on my list, Saul lower, because I think if someone was to go on this red group, I do actually think it will be Saul of all three of them. And so that's why I put that there. But the yellow people, dude, they're in danger.
And as you say that, I put Sierra at eight. That's how confident I am that red's going to lose this battle. I have Sierra at eight, but I do feel like if Sierra were to go,
this.
So I also have to say this though, right? With how this split worked out, any of my people from six down, from Sam down, I could see going home. But I have to take a side here, right? I have to take a side. Am I going on team yellow or am I going on team red? Because if I sit here and I go, oh, well, I don't know if Genevieve or Saul are in more danger. I don't know if Sierra or Andy or Sam are in more danger. So I'm just going to go with team yellow. I'm going to say that they pull in Teenie, that Teenie ends up working with them because Teenie was left out of things by Genevieve and Saul. Don't forget the Keyshawn boot. She was left out. So that could still be floating around in her head. And she could say, you know what? if this happens, hopefully Rachel survives. But if she doesn't survive, well, I could get in here with an alliance and the other red person doesn't have a choice but to come with me. I'm not going, but I will say this. Teenie is not going to rocks.
No.
Not going to put her game at risk and go to rocks. So I'm going to put Sierra at 8 and I'm going to assume that either Genevieve or Saul goes from that tribe and either Rachel or Tiana, as we've been saying all along, goes from the up.
Yeah. And so this is my number 9. I got 9, 10, 11, 12, 4 left. And my next one is going to be between Rachel and Tiana. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going for on this next one. I hope just for the conversation that we have a different one here. I'm really curious what yours is going to be. But at my number 9, I'm going to go Rachel.
No, the same thing. Sorry.
I think Rachel's more safe than Tiana.
And I actually have Rachel also at number 9 because I really don't know who's going to go between Genevieve and Saul. I think Tiana dug her own grave with the Gabe thing at the social hour. And again, I'm going to read into the edit. I don't care. She is one of the 3 people who didn't get a confessional in an episode in the pre-merge. And that's not good when the rest of your tribe is getting that kind of screen time. And then she got really negative content in multiple episodes. Like, people have been talking about wanting to vote Tiana out of the game. Now, Kyle has said he doesn't want to vote Tiana out of the game, but mm-hmm. he might be left out of this vote too. And it could be Sue, Rachel, Gabe, and Caroline who ultimately end up voting Tiana out.
Was it just, now this is off topic a bit. Was this just Gabler being Gabler and somehow being able to pull it off against Ellie during Survivor 43? Did Tiana do it wrong? Is there a way, is it a good strategy at the sanctuary when you're at a big feast with everyone there to throw your enemy's name out? Was that a mistake by Tiana?
I think it was. And here's the thing. When Gabler made that decision and he threw out Ellie's name, he was the stupidest man on planet Earth. I mean, obviously.
Great confessional.
Yeah. X doesn't love him at this point as it is. I personally do love Gabler. He is going to be at the Bryson One event this Wednesday. I'm also going to be at the Bryson One event this Wednesday. If you're going to be at the Bryson One event this Wednesday, come up and say hi. I'm not a dick. I will be wearing glasses. So if you're used to seeing me here, be ready for me to be wearing glasses because I can't see shit except for barely Russell right now. But Gabler was so hated for that. It was such a stupid movie. He has no chance of winning. He went after somebody in his own tribe, blah, 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 blah. That's always going to be the reaction to this type of move. And honestly, I think it's a deserved reaction 95% of the time. You need to have somebody who is so problematic to your game that you have to cut them out or you can't win. Gabler had that with Ellie. Ellie was too good and she was too against him and it would have ruined his game. That wasn't the case here with Tiana and Gabe. And Tiana read the room wrong, and that has me really, really, really scared for her. And I think Rachel ultimately is harmless. I really do. And yep. And if you're blue, somebody brought up the point here. Let me see. Where is it? Kevin Hernandez. Is it possible a blue tribe vote Tiana to avoid the perception of having a dominant Tuku alliance? You vote her out. Now you're down to 4. If you keep Rachel on the other side, then it's 4 yellow too. And you say to the survivors of red, hey, come to us. Let's get rid of them. They're scary.
That's smart. Here's where you're not going to like my next pick. At number 10, I have 3 picks left for everyone in chat. I got Sierra at my next one.
I could see it, man. I could, but go ahead. What's your
spot? Yeah. So for those of you who aren't fully following along, I have my final 3 are some order of Sierra, Sam, and Tiana. And I have Sierra next. Mm-hmm. So Sierra ahead of my other 2. I think her over Sam. Now, this is one completely throwing it out there just because the challenge we're doing, if you looked at the press photos that are out for the episode, it's the one where you're balancing something over your head, a long pole, and it's based off of your preseason body weight. Sierra's lighter and also very strong and fit as well. I think this is a challenge that's set up for a girl to already win. And I think this is a challenge where Sierra could probably win, and then she's safe no matter what. So that's why I have her ahead of Sam here. But ultimately, if she doesn't win, it's, in my opinion, going to be between Sierra or Sam, one of the duo that's going to be going home here.
And then, obviously, it doesn't really matter with 11 and 12, but I'm assuming you go Sam 11 and Tiana 12?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so we both have Tiana at 12 because I have Tiana in the same spot there. I go Saul at 10 and I go Genevieve at 11. I think that Genevieve is in the most danger. And again, I can't get over it. She had one of the most baller moves in pre-merge history. Like, it was such a phenomenal move. Whatever the kids are saying, they're not saying baller anymore, but whatever it was, whatever they're saying, it was that. It wasn't mid. It was good. Unless mid means good, then I apologize.
But mid is mid.
Mid is mid. Well, it was definitely better than mid. And yet she barely got anything early on. Now, it's not purple, because I always bring this up. Purple Kelly won confessional in 11 episodes. One in 11 episodes. That is 11 hours of television. Genevieve had 3 confessionals in 4.5 hours of television. So I don't even care that it's 90-minute episodes. Purple Kelly had one confessional in 11 hours of television. So anyway, but the fact that she wasn't getting much, and now it's like, you know, we've talked about it. Maybe it was they wanted the snipe. It comes out of nowhere. This will be crazy. Who would have thought? Blah, blah, blah. Or maybe she just misses the jury and they didn't want us to get too attached to her, but they didn't have a choice because the Keyshawn vote was just epic. Saul, I think, has a better chance to win the immunity challenge that's up here. And I also think that Saul is less threatening. Saul is not somebody who you're looking at saying, this is typically who wins Survivor. You look at Genevieve, she is the daughter of Kim and Parvati. That daughter is probably going to win Survivor. So I think Genevieve is scarier to everybody. So I think they'd vote out Genevieve. And then I have Tiana at the bottom. I think Tiana really is, even though it's a 5-1 split and Rachel looks screwed, I think she has the social game. And I think Tiana's in a lot of trouble this week. I've thought Tiana was in a lot of trouble for a while, and I think she's in a lot this week.
I think Tiana got really lucky that Rome had the downfall of Rome episode last week, or else that would have been the sacrificial lamb that blew throughout last episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I completely agree. And then, so you didn't get to talk really much about Sam. Why do you think Sam's in so much danger?
I think this is a challenge that's not set up for Sam to be successful at. And I think he's the stereotypical, I'm strong, I'm good at challenges. He's also like really, you talked about this. He's very social. He's really good at talking with people. And this is the individual portion of the game now where you got to get those people out. The yellow tribe has currently, they don't know what's going to happen on the other side, but they have 4 people left in the game. So red's going to want to be a little bit tighter to go after yellow. We've had conflicting opinions on this. But on top of that, Sam and Sierra, we've been hyped. This episode, the producers have been hyping up their duo all season long. Yeah. That is a tight duo. And I think at some point, it's not a duo that's going to last long. It's a duo where it's going to be broken up. And then one person will, I think, probably go pretty far, whatever one survives the next round. And just because I think you take out, even though in the new era, the girls win. The girls are really, really good and scary at Survivor nowadays. I think the thought process is still Sam is your stereotypical Survivor player.
I also think here's what I'll say, though. I feel like Sierra, Sam, and Andy are so integral to the story that is being told. And I know Genevieve and Saul have been a part of it, and Genevieve had a great episode. I don't feel like they're as important to the story that's being told, which is what's ultimately keeping me from putting them higher than the Yellow Tribe. I feel like Sam, Sierra, and Andy are just – Sam and Andy especially are so integral to the story being told. So, and neither one of them is getting the Dodo edit. You know, and so therefore, like, I don't think we get back-to-back Rome episodes.
I think the big thing is, though, and they made sure to highlight it at the tribal council, was Andy, I believe it was Sam or Sierra or someone, he turned around and said, hey, was I the second plan? Was I the decoy? And that came up. Andy's going to be pissed. Andy's going to be really upset about being that second plan. Now, I talk about in my episode recaps, if you're that second person, you need to stay calm. And you survive the round, start playing Survivor again, and you can't be that bitter. But
here's the thing, though. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Finish your point. Go ahead.
But I think Andy, although he talks about being a really smart player, I think he's not. I think he's a fun and chaotic player.
Here's the thing that Sierra and Rachel and Sam have going for them when Andy asked them that question. Saul and Sue are the ones who voted for Andy. And it was only 2 votes on it. It was 9-2-1. And Sam got, but Sam got the other vote. He got the Rome vote. True. So the thing is, Sam and Rachel and Sierra can play this off as, no, it was supposed to be a unanimous vote on Rome. Mm-hmm. We don't know who went rogue. They seriously might not know who went rogue.
Yeah.
So
there's a chance on that. And then, like, the final thing to think about here is Sam highlighted, I believe it was two episodes ago now, or one episode, that he wants to use his idol as like a fake idol maybe and trick someone out there. Some people don't know that idol expired. So there might be a possibility there of tricking someone on the Red Tribe or making them feel safer than they need to using that idol. I'd love that. We'd have a really good tribal council that way.
Yeah. And then we have Andy didn't even know he had the idol. So, you know,
yeah.
Last question here, Kevin Hernandez, do you think players are threatened by Genevieve because she found the advantage proves she's here to play? Do you think that matters to them at this point?
I think the blue players were stupid for not going to the buoy.
I agree.
Like,
totally agree.
Like, I understand, like, a little inside baseball, there's going to be buoys out there, where not to swim, things like that. But the blue tribe has some idea where these buoys have been. Just, you drop the ball.
It felt like to me that this didn't matter to anybody because they all knew it was there and they all knew it was just going to be an advantage in the challenge.
Yeah.
And I think some determined that that was more important than others. So I don't think it really mattered.
Yeah. If it was a beware advantage, knowledge is power, then yeah, I think that'd be a big deal. But for this, no.
Yeah. Who do you think is going to win? I don't know if you want to spoil that here for us or if you'd rather just send people to a video on your channel, but who do you think is going
to
win?
Oh, guys, obviously go to my channel for sure. I think the teeny, I think
it's what it feels like, right? It's starting to feel that way.
I think it's too obvious though. I don't know. I'd like to be a little bit blindsided, but I think a teeny win would make a lot of sense.
That's how I'm starting to feel too, but we'll see how that goes over the next coming days here. All right. Well, what else do you have going on? Tell people when do you normally put stuff out? What's your normal process here?
Oh, I work too hard. That's what I got to say for that. I definitely work harder than Phil for sure.
I only talk. That's it. I just talk.
I got this stuff. So if you want to support me and support Phil, make sure you use his link. I'm sure it's in the description of this video. I have 13 different puzzles and games to choose from. Honestly, they are pretty cool. Tabletop, Christmas is around the corner. Start thinking about Christmas gifts to your favorite Survivor superfan in your life. But on the YouTube side of things, I post my episode recap every Thursday. I try to get out for 5 p.m. So I'm watching the episode, editing all day to get it out because I like to throw things on screen at you because people can't stay focused nowadays. So I try and keep you interested in my 10 to 13 minute video. Every week, I also put out a little Idol Plays YouTube short for a puzzle to talk about. I also put out a YouTube short on the player that was just voted out, on why they were voted out and why I think it was either a good move or a bad move. And so we're all in on Survivor right now. I love this season.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's off to a very solid start. And it's been a fun season to talk about. We've been doing prediction power rankings, recaps, obviously. I actually won't be on this week's recap because I'll be at the Bryce and Wen event. It'll be Blake and Will who will be doing it. So they'll be back after the episode on Wednesday night. But then we've been doing Digging Deeper too. And the Digging Deeper discussions that we've been having have been great. John and McKenna have been doing Survivor Rewind. So they've been putting out thumbnails that are making me go, what the hell are they talking about over there? But hey, if it works, it works. So it's been a lot of really entertaining episodes, and it makes watching a show like House of Villains, when we go to do that, it's like, oh man, like the drop off right now is stronger than it was during House of Villains season one, just because Survivor wasn't as good during House of Villains season one. So, yeah. And as Zach says, it's the Survivor Generalist this week for the recap. Yes, it is. It is the Generalist, 'cause I will not be there. But yeah, become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. We're pretty much putting out the only day we don't put out content is Sundays. Every single other day, if you're the top tier patron, you are getting content. If you're a $10 patron, you're still getting content most days of the week. And if you're a $5 patron, you're still getting like two or three episodes, depending on the week. So there's plenty out there. You can join the Discord. You can do all that fun stuff. We're working nonstop, putting out episodes left and right. And like this video, subscribe to the channel. Make sure to click the affiliate link that is down there in the description of this video. Get yourself some Russell puzzles. They're worth it. They're well packaged. They're really well made. I have them. It drives my dog nuts. I have the wheel one. It drives my dog absolutely insane, the noise. So drive your dog nuts too. Thank you all so much for listening. Russell, always a pleasure. We'll see you next time.
Peace.
Listener. Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Cobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.